I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raf on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarky Las Pilipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP podcast. Stan C, Romoran, and Raf Camus recording on a Bonifacio day, but more importantly, it's a day after Camus' birthday. So happy birthday, Camus.
Thank you.
So how did you spend your birthday?
Quietly.
Ano nga, paano?
Quietly. I watched the Ateneo game.
I wasn't quiet at all.
No. But you know, the after was quiet.
The after was quiet.
Yeah, because you guys lost.
Had a nice steak dinner with the fam. Mamu.
Nice.
Mamu. Treated them to a nice steak dinner.
Oh, you treated them?
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. 13th month.
Oh, what? 13th month
is in. 13th month is in.
Hey, I got mine too. Like, divided by 12.
Oh.
Quick maths.
Yeah.
It's so terrible that infographic. The pointless infographic.
Maybe for those who were bad at math, but you can just simplify. You can simplify it by just dividing it by 12.
Yeah. So like,
that's what you get. Or you could get prorated.
They should have led with the prorated example. So obviously, if you stay a whole year, you don't need to divide anything.
There's nothing to divide.
You get an extra
extra month.
So if you can't relate, there's this pub mat that went up on Facebook, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
It
just went viral this week kasi napakatanga niya. It basically says na if you don't know how to calculate your 13th month pay, you have to take your salary for a month and then multiply it by 12 and then divide it by 12. So that's your 13th month pay.
Divided by 12 a month if you stayed for a whole year at your job already.
Right.
So... to me, I guess what they were trying to go for was they were trying to illustrate the example of the prorated mechanic.
Yeah.
But they went for the whole thing.
Yeah, so
hindi
siya hardworking.
No, it was hardworking. I'd say it was. It was just really not.
It was not well thought out. Yeah. Yes. It could have been so much simpler, yep. But pinili niya eh.
To be fair, it would have been helpful for me because I've only been at my new job for a couple of months exactly.
Sure.
So I would have been able to apply that directly to my situation.
Sana, okay, so you haven't been a whole year at the job yet. So
you've been there mga 8 months.
3 months, maybe 6 months. Why don't we divide your actual gross, your gross salary and then add that to your paycheck for
this
the
month.
First couple of weeks. Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah. Month. So ganun. So yun lang. Sana inay sila yung PubMed kasi napakatanga ng labas niya ngayon eh. Yeah. But anyway, let's bring it back to Camus really quickly because it was your birthday yesterday. See, I'm wearing red for you today.
Aw, thank you.
And then again, it's also the birthday of my Lola and my cousin. So they share the same birthday as you.
It's my Lola's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Lola.
So, yes.
So like, that's technically, I can never forget your birthday because I remember theirs, right? Yeah, I mean, it's weird because like out of all my batchmates, I see you once a week, minimum.
Yeah, minimum.
Right, like of all the people in my batch, not even my barkada, it's you. You're the one I see once a week, so like technically, I should remember this.
Aww.
Anyway, we pile a lot of crap on you on a daily basis. So this is gonna be like the minute of the podcast where we are where we're extra nice to you. So, I hope you had a great birthday, and I hope that we all get sloshed on Saturday when we have the annual Mark Henry Christmas celebration.
Followed up by the, what is it? Christmas beatings.
Yeah, season's beatings.
Season's beatings.
Your own boss's event.
Sorry, boss Trian, I know we're not on the best of terms right now, but I worked yesterday for you, sir.
And I'm probably gonna have to pass up on that just because nandito na ako malapit sa amin, so I don't wanna go far.
Order ka kasi ng sisig eh.
I did not order the sisig.
I would like to watch this show when it goes up, though. I'll celebrate
the
spirit.
The live show should be fun.
All right. If should I'm not too sloshed on Saturday night, let's see.
Have you guys even worked out the logistics of that?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Yes, we have with the PWR tech team.
Okay.
And Camus should have experience. You know, you've done this.
I've done the cam op with the Carlosio.
He's some more for sure magulas sa mows that night.
Oh yes, but there are plans.
What about the jabronis who are there who aren't really interesting? Like, what do you do with them?
It's okay. I mean, we
friends ni yun, eh?
Well, most of the OM1 friends are in on this. That's a small subgroup. That's a very small subgroup. But we're not keeping it completely wrestling related.
Sure.
We're mostly being alcoholics that evening.
All right. Kala ko lang kasi, you know, there might be normal patrons on a Saturday night who'll be like, yo, no. What the fuck is this shit?
Most never attracts normal patrons. Trust me on that. Trust me on that. Especially because it is a Chinese restaurant by default.
Yeah, because of Kowloon House on top.
Exactly. So Moe's is just there to capture that submarket.
But in Kowloon House, I mean, that's their front.
Yeah, that's the front. No, actually, it is the front.
Yeah, it is the front. So, the back.
Can I just say how weird it was when we had the Revo show in January, and then I ordered like beef noodle soup,
sure,
or beef wonton soup, and then I was eating it there at fucking Moe's. It was just very weird. Yeah, right before the Revo show started. Yeah, you know. It just doesn't go well again.
It's a fun venue. It's a fun venue. Na parang in the past two and a half years that it's been open, it's been a fun ride for most because sobrang daming kalokohan. I mean, it's not that old. Hindi pa yan umabot ng 5. But like, I think 2 years na sila by early next year.
All right,
if I'm not mistaken.
If you're not really doing anything important with your life on Saturday night, if you don't have any Christmas party celebrations because you're a loner or have no friends, then you can make friends at Moe's on Saturday night when the Carlos show has season's beatings.
Oh, yeah.
All right. With that, let's get to talking about this week in wrestling. And let's start off with the two women squads that have formed on Raw and SmackDown that are basically identical and are going on parallel paths, even though they're totally unrelated, supposedly, to one another. And that is Absolution, which is a mystery, and the Riot Squad with an extra T.
Riot squad.
I don't understand why. I know. Is it because they couldn't trademark the word Riot, or probably
Riot Squad implied?
No, dude, I get it. I get why they had to add that.
Oh, go.
Because in PWR we had a Riot Squad before.
Oh, yeah. Kinahanap natin sila.
Huh. May magagalit eh.
May magagalit.
No, but still, seriously though, the only legit reason I'm seeing is the fact that it's pretty probably hard to trademark Riot Squad as a but it,
as
is it spelled Riot Squad?
Yes, like,
yes, with
yes,
the
it
two
is,
T's.
With the extra
with two T's. Oh, so I guess that's probably why. It's the most sensible reason I could come up with, but
from a branding standpoint, diba?
It does kind of sound iffy because they never had to do that before.
Yeah, parang how many other generic?
No, for Ruby Riot.
Ruby Riot,
she was still in NXT.
Because like Ruby Riot is in itself is trademarkable.
Yeah, it's unique. Eh?
Yeah, yep. But
Riot Squad,
yeah, two T's.
Two T's.
So there's that, and then there's Absolution, which I really don't get why they call themselves that. Because hey, when Evolution was named that, you could get it. It made sense.
There was an Evolution.
Legacy also made sense.
I have a feeling, I wasn't able to catch Roy yet, but did Paige explain why? What it is they were absolving? Who's getting
down.
Absolved?
Maybe she is?
She's going what? Down, what?
No, is being absolved.
Yeah, that's what I'm also thinking right now. If she didn't explain why or who's getting absolved or why anyone is going for Absolution, my theory is that yung subtext there is the reason why they're calling themselves Absolution. Because Paige has had a lot of sins.
Any sins to answer for?
Not necessarily sins that we should be judging her by, but, you know, unfortunate things
she's
that happened to happen
yeah,
to her.
Her conscience is not the cleanest.
Yeah, yeah.
But so she's being a bad guy. Like, when you're being absolved or forgiven, you're supposed to be on the path to righteousness.
Yeah, but you can also use it as a self-righteous stick.
Holier than thou.
Yeah, holier than thou bullshit. Nah, I'm gonna be better than you because I'm absolving myself of my own sins, so I'm gonna be pure and stuff.
I wish it were that nuanced, but it's not at this point.
Or
we'll see. We'll see.
Or they're absolving the Raw women's roster of
their sins.
Of their sins, which is, I don't know.
Which are also numerous.
Yeah, I just don't want it to be. It sounds cool, so we're going with it.
Yeah.
Feeling great sounds cool, so they're going. You know, like how the submission sorority was a thing for a week,
and then they.
But you submission sorority, naman makes sense, yeah. They all did submissions,
right, and then they went for
the Riot
PCB.
Squad. The Riot Squad makes sense because you know it is literally Riot Squad.
Yeah, sure.
My problem with the whole with these two teams of three women apiece is that you can tell they're manufacturing something for some future event. Or some future time, at which point it would be convenient to have two teams of three women. And I don't know, they're manufacturing hype for a feud. You know how dream matches or dream matchups come together organically? Because, entities just exist and they are powerful.
Like the Shield and the Wyatts.
Yeah. They just exist independently of each other. And to me, I think they're going for this. They're artificially manufacturing this just for the sake of having the dream match there when it's time to cash in on it.
It's funny that you bring this theory up, Deba, and that you see it as they're forming the Riot Squad and Absolution and bringing them up when they were kind of doing this earlier this year with the Four Horsewomen WWE.
Because that really happened organically. They had their curtain call moment. Oh. They're all reuniting in main roster storyline. That's fine, diba?
Yeah, but they just trashed it all of a sudden right after the MYC when we didn't see Shayna Baszler again.
Mm-mm.
So if they really wanted it so bad, why didn't they just push for WWE Four Horsewomen versus MMA Four Horsewomen?
Siguro ng yari dyan is they just couldn't pull it together. Yeah. Or,
logistics.
Yeah.
It happens.
Or I don't know, maybe they're saving it for some time. But sayang nga yun, maybe. Pero sayang yung sayang din yung
the seeds that they planted. Nandun eh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just seeds, more of their it was already there. It was already growing.
It was already growing, it was already taped. Yeah, sayang
lang. Yeah, the inclusion of women like Sonya Deville in Paige's squad kind of does feel like this is the poor man's consolation prize for the Four Horsewomen feud. But
for now,
it's the fact that it's the same thing on both brands and
happening so close to each other.
Yeah, it's really a sign that they're pushing for something artificially. And I don't know. To me, I'll still say that the Riot Squad still has a better end of the deal just because they're on SmackDown.
Just one last point on these two squads of women before we move on to our next one. With Absolution, I can kind of get how they're all heels. Because there's Paige, we know how she can be a villain. Sonya Deville is a badass, so I can get that. Mandy Rose is a bitch who looks really hot, so I can get that, right? With the Riot Squad, with Ruby Riott, I can buy her as a heel because she talks with a swagger. Yep. But Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan, I can't get behind them as heels just yet. Because Liv Morgan is too perky and cute and bubbly. Even when she was trying to be a bad girl this week on SmackDown, you'll notice it in her promos. Sarah Logan was touted by Ruby Riott as the Southern Belle who every woman should be afraid of. And then when you give her the mic, she sounds so sweet. With that Southern accent.
Yeah, like, she looks like a pitch niya.
Yeah.
To me, I think they should just be booked as rebels instead of anarchists.
Or how about you don't give them the mic at all first, right? I mean, Sarah Logan is a big, chunky girl. Right, so don't give her the mic first. Let her be the Roman Reigns of her group.
She's an outdoors Roman Reigns.
Remember when Roman Reigns didn't really say much?
Yeah, in the final two words. Yeah.
So let Sarah Logan do that for now.
Leader.
Yeah, before he started going off with his suffering Sakatash diatribes. I just wish that Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan looked more threatening.
I was just gonna say, I can't even remember when Sarah Logan was Crazy Mary Dobson. I can't remember her promos. Like, for the life of me, I cannot.
Was she a heel back then?
The tweener. Because she kept having that face pop, eh. Na parang indie face pop. Kahit na heel yung dating niya.
So when I see her on TV, I kind of want to give her a hug. Yeah. I don't know why. I find her attractive. I want to give her a hug. Even though she's a badass, I think she's hot for it.
Like, but it's like, it's like ever since she got WWE signed, they've toned down a lot of what she was on the indies. Kasi. Oh. Now, back there, you'd see the brutality. You'd see how she sort of got together with War Machine's Raymond Rowe.
Oh.
Yeah. And that, because that, that's a very organic relationship in real life. And those two actually wrestle not too distantly from each other. Now, so I could see her just being the powerhouse. And just don't let her talk.
Don't let her talk for now.
But right. She could go full psycho on them, I don't know, down the line.
All right, thanks for mentioning the phrase full psycho. I want to piggyback off of that and talk about Matt Hardy. Because he had a match against Bray Wyatt this week, and as the announcers were building up towards the end of the match, there's something amiss with Matt Hardy, and it seems like he's finally going towards being broken. And we saw that at the end of the match when he started going delete. Now, there are two sides to this, because there's one camp, which includes me, that says, nah, I think the crowd in Tennessee got behind it.
Hold on, I think they were able to, especially when they didn't see it coming. But at this point, you don't really... at this point, say, you don't really expect the WWE to go with a broken gimmick anymore, just because we've heard so much news and rumors about where it's going or where it's not going, that for this to happen this week was a bit of a surprise. So, naintindihan ko if it wasn't as loud as it should have been.
Yeah, because the other group... Sorry, just to cut you off really quickly. But the other group kasi argues na...
Wala.
The crowd was called for it, sinayang nila yung moment.
No,
which
I don't think so.
I argue against. I have been arguing against this all week.
I did hear in people were actually chanting delete with him. To me, I think that the post-match segment just wasn't that well produced. It didn't help that he was crunched up against the corner doing the delete hand sign. And in a live audience, hindi siya ganun ka gandang angle.
It's and not he wasn't mic'd up. Yeah, he wasn't mic'd. And there were... Parang you could have done this so much better if you did that at the top of the stage.
Diba? Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah. You have a point. And the crowd would have obviously known what to do more if he was mic'd up. Because... at least, mas magiging malino yung delete.
Yeah, because he could have led it talaga, right? Yun. That being said, I want to see the broken Matt Hardy character get fleshed out in WWE, even though it's going to be watered down as it was with Sarah Logan's character and every other character from the indies.
Yep.
I think that Bray Wyatt's actually the right character to
do that. Same. When I saw the news, I thought that what a perfect guy to do it. Because, diba? Bray Wyatt was the poor man's Matt Hardy at the time the final deletion was popular. And what better way for everything to come around, right?
Yeah, plus see, Bray Wyatt, his character has always been about bringing out the worst in him. He tried to do that with Finn Balor. With John Cena, that's right. So Bray Wyatt has been trying to get out that monster from inside of you. And if he can get that out of Matt Hardy, then it's a victory for both characters.
To me, I think that it's way too early to judge where this is going just because you think people didn't hear, people didn't chant delete with it. I believe in, just give this time, give this more air time, give it a little
Two more weeks, 3 more weeks?
Yeah, sure. Just give Matt a lot more camera time. Yeah. For sure, it's what people have been wanting since the Hardys appeared. No, not just Feb.
Since they returned to WWE.
Since they appeared at WrestleMania.
So, here's the Fearless forecast. By the time the Royal Rumble comes around, he will enter as the broken character.
I can take that.
Yung pa? Do we have to wait till then?
No, I mean, he'll be broken by then. So, the pop he'll get when he enters the Rumble match will be, that broken pop.
When's the next Raw pay-per-view?
The Royal Rumble.
Rumble number.
They don't have a December show.
They don't have a December show, no?
So, SmackDown's been getting the December show the last couple of years.
Can we talk about this real quick? So, let's talk about the pay-per-view calendar for 2018 real quick.
We talked about it privately last week.
Yeah, but not on the podcast.
Pero since you brought up the fact walang Raw pay-per-view to end the year, I guess it's time to bring up the fact na I looked at it again, and it seems they went back to how it was in the old days. It's now a full month and a half at least between brand exclusive pay-per-views, not counting, of course, yung mga co-branded stuff. So, for example, you're going to get, let's say, Elimination Chamber on Raw for Feb, right? And then SmackDown won't get a pay-per-view until Roadblock on March. So we're back to how... we're back to forcing the creative team to write stories for 1.5 or, you know, one at least
month.
1 month.
Month and a half.
And that should at least be a challenge to them to figure out how to make TV compelling while they don't have a pay-per-view that month, for example.
I think it's a good thing. Because if you look at, say, Lucha Underground, how they build towards episodes where it's an explosive episode, but it's not a pay-per-view, but it has that big fight feel. If you can do that for Lucha Underground or even old NXT,
before it became what they do, before they had the takeover,
SmackDown is actually pretty good at doing this because they have had, for example, UK shows, UK episode nila, they built that up big time,
yes.
And it was a normal episode, but they stacked it really well.
And it felt major.
I have faith that SmackDown, at least as always, will have. We'll have the right tools and the right guidance to make the most out of this new pay-per-view setup.
One last takeaway from that pay-per-view calendar for 2018 is the fact that Money in the Bank is now low-key Big Five.
Yes.
As it should have been in a long time.
Something I've been clamoring for. Right? So now it's Mania, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, The Rumble, and Money in the Bank. So I'm the worst case scenario here is that there are four Money in the Bank matches.
No, I don't think
so. Tangina sana hindi.
Yeah.
What I would like, though, is... One men's match with both Raw and SmackDown guys, and one women's match with both Raw and SmackDown women.
That works. So you keep the
no way they're gonna be four. No,
you keep the briefcases separate.
Right. Ang ano dun, ang downside lang dun is let's say the women's match happens first, and then a SmackDown girl wins it. Baka may isip na puta, baka Raw na to. Is that like Pavlovian? Tama ba? Pavlovian ba yan?
Conditioning.
You know?
Yeah, Pavlovian conditioning.
Diba? Like how it was in the old days of Money in the Bank, when an indie favorite won the SmackDown one, you're gonna think, WWE favorite thing sa Raw.
Yeah.
That's actually an interesting theory that I've never actually thought of.
No, this was 2012, 2013. Like when Dolph Ziggler won the Money in the Bank, you were like, puta, someone like The Miz or Cena might win.
I never thought that that was the case. I just thought that whoever was going to be to me, it was more of whoever was going to win for SmackDown was usually the guy who needed to really go up.
Yeah, someone like a Barrett or a Daniel Bryan.
Or
a Sandow.
Or Sandow, right?
Sorry, Barrett never won. Sorry. Sandow.
And then usually the Raw guys would be yung mga established stars. Yeah. I never thought of it as indie guys and WWE guys.
But yeah, that's how it came up.
I
guess those are different points of view, but ultimately they kind of arrive towards the same thing.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
I just never thought of it that way until you guys brought it up.
Alright, so let's stick to Raw for one last point and how basically it was a waste of time to watch this week's Raw.
Oh boy.
And I say this because you really notice the absences from Sheamus to The Miz to Dean Ambrose to Brock Lesnar. But then again, you know, Brock's perennially absent. But the fact
Miz
that
Miz is already shooting the Marine Six.
Yeah, yeah, but it gets me absent.
Fucking Shawn Michaels, Jesus.
And Becky Lynch.
Yeah, Becky Lynch.
Sapaya.
Yung thing about Miz shooting the Marine is it's kind of weird how they had to write him out that way. Why didn't they just say that he was shooting the Marine so he had to leave? But parang before when he did it.
Yeah. And then on scene, on location videos every other week.
Yeah. The thing about Raw and its noticeable absences is the creative team didn't make up for it by writing a compelling episode. So they gave us Rollins Cesaro, which we've seen before, and I will never complain about Rollins Cesaro. Pero
still good.
Shit, nakakasawa siya. And but then you had
Elias.
Elias Roman.
Elias. Things you didn't know you wanted.
Elias Roman is fun. I like the match. You know what I like better?
What?
Bo and Axel playing harmonica.
Yeah.
With air quotes alongside Elias. That was really fun, and it showed how they were hamming it up and how I mean, headless chickens sila. Wala yung bossing nila.
So what do we do?
They find another boss, kind of like how you and Cap would probably be if Trian and. Evan were like whisked away.
Speaking of that, iniisip ko pa rin yung logistics of having to announce that Miz was going to be shooting the Marine. Parang, if you say that and then immediately have a title match, it's pretty obvious that Miz is going to lose.
As a counter argument though, Miz took the title with him to shoot the Marine before.
Yeah, true.
That was damaging though. Would you really do that again?
Not when the Universal title is already in absentia.
Exactly. So. at least kahit paano, they try to make up for it by at least having the farce of or the formality of having a Intercontinental Championship match before Miz officially leaves. At least di mo siya gagawing giveaway result na. Okay, Miz has to go, but conveniently we have a championship match.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not going to be the guy who says that I think wrestlers should be full-time on the road 365/24/7. If any of them want to take time off, then God bless them. Dean Ambrose and Renee Young deserve their honeymoon. Yes. Sure. Mm-hmm. It's just
honeymoon
that, yeah. So they explained it. The problem I have with it is sabay-sabay silang nawala. Sheamus also had to leave this week. So
for what?
I think he had to be with family or some shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the point is, sabay-sabay sila nangyari, and we really felt their absence. And I don't know why the creative team couldn't come up with really interesting stories for this week, and they just made it a throwaway episode.
No, as in zero character development.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, okay. No, there probably was one bit of development that I liked, which was Samoa Joe inserting himself in the IC title picture. So he attacked Roman Reigns after the Elias match.
Oh, and that sounds fun.
It pretty much sets up the Samoa Joe Roman Reigns IC title.
Samoa Joe
versus Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe.
Two Samoans named Joe. Yeah. So that's the one positive
thing. I want the memes. I want the memes of this feud. I want
the winner
now.
Of this feud will be a Samoan named Joe.
Yeah. So
internet, yun, make it happen.
That was the one thing that I actually was like, hey, in 3 hours. In 3 hours, dude. So,
you get that.
So it's not Finn Joe again. It's really just Joe.
Yes.
Joe V. Joe.
Right.
Joe's Wade.
So Finn Balor came out to save Jason Jordan from Kane.
Akala ko si Finn yung tatanggap ng challenge.
No, Finn saved JJ from Kane only to get attacked by Kane and rescued by Braun.
Jesus.
Yeah. At the end of the show.
At the end of the show, yeah. So that's pretty dumb, too. Tanga, how could they have buried Finn this much?
These are so over.
Yep.
Alam mo naman.
He has to lose pa.
Did they have to add an extra N to his name now?
He's always had two N's.
No.
A third N? No. Not yet.
Man. Alright, I'm done talking about Raw. This is depressing. Let's talk about SmackDown. And let's lead off with Shane McMahon versus Daniel Bryan. I like that they are fleshing this feud out even more post Survivor Series.
I'm just happy that you get the subtle Men of Honor trope with this.
Yeah.
It's nice. So it's nice.
Kind of makes you wish that Austin Aries didn't leave right away.
Actually, you know, he would have been the nice third man in this.
You know who would have been a nice third man? Not an okay third man. Shelton Benjamin.
Ano man?
ROH alum.
ROH alum din siya. Sino pa bang mga alum na pwede?
AJ.
AJ, yeah.
AJ,
absolutely.
But
he's too busy being champ.
He's too busy being champ. But
oh, why not, right? No, anyway.
But actually, yeah.
Dude, how about Nakamura? He's not doing shit.
Oh, that's true.
He wasn't really an ROH.
Kinda, by virtue
by virtue of association.
Yeah, by virtue of the NJPW partnership. Might as well, right?
Who else? Yeah. Who else has been an ROH? You guys would know this obviously better than I do.
No, we're thinking on the roster.
On SmackDown, that's probably about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Because everyone else, Joe's on Raw.
Cedric's on Raw.
Yeah.
Technically.
Finn's on Raw, technically.
D-Bry is the only other guy who is in a position, I'd say outside of Nigel McGuinness, to make these calls for those boys. Na parang, if you know the history there, that's another sub-layer that you like to see.
Who's turning heel, though? Because at this point, they're still both baby faces, and both arguments from both sides have merit.
Oh, that's...
All right, so Shane argues now. Shane argues now Kevin and Sammy cost Team SmackDown the win.
Yes.
And that they've been very disrespectful towards not only him as the boss, but also the entire SmackDown locker room.
And belligerent as fuck.
Right, therefore, they should be fired. Mm-hmm. And Shane's also been forthcoming about him being petty about it.
Yes.
He would take delight in firing Sammy and Kevin. So those are the face and heel points for Kevin for Shane. For Brian, his points are that they've got talent, so why fire them when they could go to Raw? Which can easily be rebutted by, "Tangina na pakay mo eh, tapos yung Survivor Series eh."
Oh.
Yeah, all right. Which is what Shane said. Now it's Steph's problem, but
yeah.
Yeah, make it her problem.
Right. So there's that. And then Brian also said, if you're going to hire me to be a yes man, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to counter you and be your check and balance.
True.
Yeah.
So that's also a nuanced argument. Yeah. And that's not some... These are layers we don't normally get to flesh out with our authority figure feuds. Yes.
And to me, that doesn't necessarily make him a heel. Does it also necessarily make him a face? Siguro, it depends on what he does with this self-awareness moving forward. I like it because for now, it means that Daniel Bryan is a three-dimensional character even more as an authority figure. It just depends now, talaga, on how he utilizes his fellow men of honor.
Yes. Now, parang, I think if he starts defending them too much, you can really... You'll see the tell. You'll see the tell in the book.
I just don't know that this segment was the exact moment that he turned heel.
It's not. It's not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But it's the first step towards it.
Now, sure. But it still could go either way. Because they could still... there's still time for them to have Shane go all petty. Go all out petty.
But how can you have Shane be the heel when Kevin and Sammy are heel as well?
It's true. It's also true.
You can have Shane be overly moralistic and then in an act of pure rage just be like, no, I'm doing this for me. Not for the company, not for SmackDown, but you're out.
Yeah, he kind of did that already when he faced Kevin Owens in Hell in a Cell.
No, but for this moment, I'm done with it. Full abuse of power.
The problem kasi is that when you really look at it, the reasons guys like Sammy and Kevin, and to an extent Brian, have been mentioning aren't necessarily heel justifications. They're human justifications, and they can be taken either way. To me,
so they're shades of gray, basically.
Yes, they're very, very gray, very much shades of gray.
Yeah. So. It's really up to you to decide at this point who you're going to side with. Obviously, I'm biased for Daniel Bryan, which makes this really fun for me. I'm invested in the feud. Mm. Authority figure versus authority figure. This can really go really stale really quickly. And I'm glad that they're taking this route at least for now.
They've been going slow with it. I think it's good that they focus instead on both sides' really very valid arguments.
Yeah, yeah. Agree. All right, so after Shane and Daniel Bryan, two of the things that really stood out on this week's episode of SmackDown are the breakups, which happened very close to one another. So let's start
off with
Jinder breaking up with the Singh brothers. So so the Singh brothers are in the match against AJ Styles. AJ beats him via middle rope Styles clash.
You mean rematch, no?
Yeah.
It's not happening at Clash anymore, or what?
No, it's the Singh brothers.
Yeah,
so it was a handicap match.
Actually, ang ganda ng spot na yan.
Yeah, yeah, that was good.
So, because we haven't seen the Styles Clash done, the extreme versions of the Styles Clash in a while.
Yeah, they're small, so...
It's still so fun.
So the Singh brothers lose, Jinder Mahal gets pissed, and he hits them both with a kalas. So that effectively ends their partnership. And then after that, the Hype Bros break up following their second straight loss to the Bludgeon Brothers.
In a very quick squash at that.
At this point, I see a reordering of the SmackDown Tag Team Division. Obviously, I don't know why. First of all, I don't think the Hype Bros deserve to break up. I think they deserve to turn heel. Pero that would mean compounded na yung ano. Dumami na yung heels sa Tag Team Division. But... Jinder turning on the Singhs would mean that they're kind of gonna have to turn face.
Yeah.
Also, they didn't deserve a breakup yet.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Because I felt like the Singhs could still have gone further with Jinder as their heaters. Heaters.
Well, they could have been... if they come back next week in diminished role, not in such a way that it's still... I'm the boss.
Is it confirmed when wala na sila?
I don't know.
Hindi pa. It's still...
You were just left with the shot of them lying in the ring.
Because it's more... To me, it sounds like, you know, hitting your lackeys with a finisher doesn't necessarily mean you're done. It just might mean that you're frustrated with them tonight.
I mean, look at the case of the Trabajador, Cuatro.
Yeah, diba?
Sorry, just to illustrate as a recency thing.
Wait, no. Cuatro was done.
No, before, diba, he got beaten down the one match.
Oh.
He comes back. He's still serving.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure we can come up with a better and more recent WWE example where the lackeys were beaten up and then they came crawling back to their boss.
I can't remember one. I remember Cuatro.
Didn't J&J do that with Seth?
Yeah, parang ganun.
And they came crawling back.
J&J never really got fired just because, you know, Seth got mad at them once.
Yeah.
No, but did Seth fucking curb stomp their faces?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But either they're not done or they're slowly just turning them face.
Yeah.
I wanted to stick together pa rin. Like, you know, even post-India tour, just because there's something there. Even though the Singhs aren't really wrestling, I like them in their role.
No, you know what? They should be together and the Singhs should be wrestling in the tag team division.
Yeah. Because the Singhs are too good just to be lackeys for life.
So you want them to be budget Indian Basham brothers?
Sure.
Yeah, I could go with that. I could go with that because they can wrestle that role.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. They are the Indian cabinet. And, heads of security, right?
Mm. Yes, security. Yeah, exactly.
I think that the partnership could have gone so far, like with Jinder as champion and then the Singhs as champions. May ganun pang possibilities. I think they broke up way too soon, especially when WWE has still not maximized what they can do with the Jinder Mahal character.
Especially in India, when they try to reach out there. So, let's not close the book on this for now, as we're also hoping na sana it's just a one-off na he hits him in the kalas out of frustration.
Yeah.
Na next week, they're gonna come crawling back to the Maharaja, and he says, yeah, sure.
You know what would be the ultimate play here that would solidify Jinder Mahal as, you know, a top heel guy on SmackDown? If this was a fake-out, now, this week, to plant some seeds of doubt
in AJ's mind.
Yeah, in AJ's mind. Diba? So come Clash of Champions, surprise, the Singhs are still with him.
Right.
That works.
I'm giving you a free layup here, WWE. They say this is the one thing you need to prove that Jinder is somehow competent.
And cerebral.
In the main event thing. You say that's what he's missing, that instinct na, he's got a mind of a champion.
Kind of like how he brought out the great Kali in the Punjabi prison match.
Which they didn't really capitalize on.
Yeah, or follow up on.
Yeah. Oh, wala follow through. Right.
Pabalik ulit for Clash of Champions.
But with the hype bros here, sabihin na natin na someone had to turn and couldn't be the both of them. I'm actually cool with Mojo turning heel because Zack Ryder has built up enough equity with the crowd to, you know, get that face pop every time he comes out.
Sure.
I don't have a problem with Mojo being the heel because he sounded, like in that backstage segment after, he actually sounded a little smarter than Mojo usually does.
And
just a bit. Just a bit.
He's pretty hateable.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about the former football players, but they're all hateable. From Corbin to Riddick Moss, Tino Sabatelli, Mojo Rawley.
Titus?
I love Titus.
No, I'm just saying. Titus is former football.
Brock is a former football player.
Brock is former football.
All right, Brock is hateable.
The Rock is former football.
He's hateable.
He's hateable.
All right. So, what is it about the NFL jocks and how? Why are they so hateable?
They're body guys inherently.
Yeah, they're body guys with high stamina.
You also kind of have to have that attitude in the game.
Yeah, na parang parati silang big balls.
Yeah, attitude. Killer instinct.
Gotta
give
make
no fucks, take no prisoners. Yeah,
but can't you say the same thing about CM Punk?
No.
Why? Well, no. Why CM Punk?
Did he not have a killer instinct? Did he not also give
no
fucks?
No, he did. He did. But this is... there's conditioning, kasi mental conditioning within...
CM Punk does not look like a football player.
Yeah.
I was juxtaposing him with the football players. But like,
the
can't
football
you be,
mentality.
Can't you be an alpha and not be a football
player?
It's not
player? Just... Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Examples of which... Stone Cold. Stone Cold never played football.
What? Yes,
sports.
He did
too? But.
College.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Okay, isa pa yan. Hateable din siya.
I read his book.
I did not read the book. Sorry.
You should. You get a copy.
Which one is that?
The Stone Cold Truth.
Okay.
You just borrow mine.
Yeah. So there's something about these football players, especially from the current generation. And whenever I see them on TV, I just hate them. Right, so, I don't know. I'm all for the Mojo Rawley heel turn. I hope that he gives Zack Ryder the feud that Titus and Darren never got.
That should happen.
But it's not going to be long. Because
this is going to be quick.
Zack can only carry him for so long.
Yeah. Because Mojo is still a piece of work. Na parang he needs help.
What are the odds that Zack
doesn't face it?
Yeah. He doesn't have enough.
Energetic.
Yeah, he doesn't have enough. He doesn't slow down the matches.
What if he does slow down by next week?
I don't know.
That's.
I think what he'll do is he'll be wrestling in the same face, but just for the annoyance factor.
Yeah. The
basically
same,
pulling a Sammy.
Yeah, in the same vein as Sammy. That's what I was going to say.
Alright. So with Zack Ryder, though, I hope that this somehow finds him moving towards the IC title picture again, although I doubt that that's going to happen. I think his trajectory is more Ty Dillinger at this point, to just nowhere.
Ah, where is Ty?
Yeah, where is Ty?
Nowhere, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
Right?
Well, he did get the Starrcade match.
He did, yes.
Before we end, because we're basically at the end of our list for this week, so as we wind down here.
Rotating talaga yung SmackDown, eh.
Parang 205.
Yeah, parang 205. 205 is much more rotating since you only have 1 hour.
Oh, boy!
But with 205, ang dami nang on the bench. Kendrick, Jack, TJ. They're all on the bench, yeah. Right?
No, I wouldn't say Kendrick and Jack are on the bench.
They're on main event.
I haven't seen them.
No, I mean, it's just a matter of time. Because they still have something. Their heel turn partnership is still fresh. TJ has no story. They have no story for him.
Yeah. You know, just really quickly before we end here, we're approaching the end of the year, obviously. So on smartkenry.ph, by the time you're listening to this, we'll have started this year's 31 Days of Wrestling series. So really excited about that. But for the podcast, we're also going to be doing our year-end awards.
Yes.
So our year-end awards also include the separate episode for the theme song awards, which Kamas over here always puts together.
Yes.
And with the year-end awards, I just have to say, the leading candidate for Bust of the Year, but we have that, right? Bust of the Year?
Yeah, Bust.
So, I'm not sure about you guys, but I think Bust of the Year has to be Mike and Maria Kanellis.
Which is...
Yes, let's save that conversation.
I know, but...
I'm just putting it out there because I expected so much out of them.
And we got a really fancy.
Sa pa yung Men of Honor.
Ay, tama! He can come back as a Men of Honor.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I forget that Mike is on the roster, you know?
We forget that he's on the roster.
You forgot that Mike is on a roster and you forgot he was from ROH.
No, I forgot that he was on the roster.
He was an IWGP tag team champion.
He was?
Yeah, in the Kingdom. With Matt Taven.
Alright.
And it wasn't bad. That's the thing, eh? Mike Kanellis is not bad. He's just...
Oh, people will disagree with you on that, but I agree. No, he's not terrible.
He's not unwatchable.
I like him.
But what we got out of him was a pregnancy. That's what we got.
And drug addiction.
Hey, let's
not hate on that. Prescription.
Yeah, prescription drug addiction. From before.
You know, people can change. People can get clean. Look at that.
And he got clean.
Look at Drake
Works. Getting help. Mm.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast, I guess. And I like how this one's pretty tight because really, there really wasn't much that went on. Even NXT this week was very ho-hum. So yeah, the only real thing worth watching is the main event.
It's a San Antonio show anyway.
Yeah. So with that said, let's get to our picks of the week because really the good stuff should come next week when the NXT tapings come around. So my pick of the week is the main event, like I mentioned. So it's Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews versus Tyler Bate and Trent Seven.
Yep.
Simple story there. British Strong Style has their little issues to work out in WWE and Mark Andrews wants a shot at Pete Dunne's title. So Mark Andrews agreed to team with Pete Dunne as long as he got a title shot if they won.
Yeah.
But they didn't win.
Aww.
So, you know, that kiboshes Mark Andrews' title hopes right there, along with the bitter end. So it was a simple match, good story, and I like how it played out.
Keith Lee versus Tomohiro Ishii.
Oh, fuck you.
Fucking babyface, underdog, Ishii.
Oh, my God.
Fucking Christ.
That match, by the way,
Global
is
Wars.
Fucking required watch right now if you want to watch Ishii backed into a corner.
If you want to watch one of NJPW's most touted guys in the mid-card and one of the most must-watch up-and-coming indie guy in the business.
He is
one of your top candidates for CTE.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, sure, I guess.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you're on SGP, I posted it last Saturday. If you occasionally or regularly watch indie shows on the internet, look for it. It's
on Watch Wrestling for sure.
Yeah, it's on Watch. Probably not. It's the first night of the Global Wars, Rev Pro and NJPW.
Main event, but though.
Nope, not the event.
Nope.
But
can you tell me where to scroll?
we'll send it to you.
No,
I'm in the group. All right.
It's super watchable.
This card also has Matt Riddle versus El Desperado.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right, birthday boy, you're up.
I take AJ Styles versus the Singh brothers just for that second rope fucking ultimate Styles clash because we haven't seen it in a while. I marked out a little too hard for it when I was watching it this morning.
That meant two things. One, that Styles clash was awesome, and two, there really wasn't much to choose from
this
week.
There's not much.
With that, if there's anything you want to tell us, anything you agree with, disagree with, you want to banter with us, we're on Curious Cat, but we're also on Twitter. It's @CavemanCamus for the birthday boy, at Rose War and at underscore Stan C. For the podcast, it's at the SGP Podcast. And we'll catch you this Saturday, or at least, you know, these two will catch you this Saturday.
No, at we'll most. Catch everyone this Saturday. For our party.
Yeah, for our
party. Well,
if you're not part of SH, you're not invited, obviously.
Oh, no shit. You don't know where it is happening.
Y'all know who you are.
You ain't invited to this one.
Yeah, yeah. Some people have tried to ask if they could come. Fuck that.
Sorry, no.
You're our friend, but fuck that.
You are not a plus one.
We will lynch you if you show up. Right? And
Wherever the venue is.
And by that, we actually mean we will sick lynch on you.
When he decides to come.
Because we do have a lynch.
Yeah.
And for those of you who just want to hang out, seasons beatings at most.
Seasons beatings is more for the public.
Sure, yeah. I'm not going to be there. You guys have fun there. Right?
We will.
So on behalf of the birthday boy, Raph
Oh, wait, Gamos, wait. Just as one birthday indulgence.
Sure, sure.
Indulgence. Because indulge me in this one.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Birthday boy and Aldrin Richards guy.
All right. Okay, just a quick shout out to Aldrin Richards, Frankie 13, Angelo Silva, and Morgan Vaughn, who are apparently kicking off MWF Noche Buena. So there were a lot of reactions to them kicking off the show. Of course, we're not privy to what's going on backstage. We're not privy to whatever decisions they're making. All I'm saying here is I am excited to show up on time this Saturday.
For once.
Or next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Yeah, I will be incentivized to show up on time. Because I want to see all four of these guys. Last time I caught them was at Republica. That was half a year ago.
Half a year ago at this point. Ako wala kasi journalistic integrity. Okay.
Oh, sorry. I threw mine out the window by just saying that. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, sir.
Delikatesa naman, Kamus.
I'm just... No, it's my birthday.
Delikatesa naman.
Pwe! Delikatesa, sir!
Inyo na yung delikatesa nyo, pwe!
I'm just saying this because it's my birthday. That I'm an Aldrin Richards guy too.
All right. That's it. We're done here. You can expect a Noche Buena review in a couple of weeks after the show.
Yeah, with our trusted friend.
Yes, Kel Fabi will be back. He's still going to be in the country for that show.
I haven't even asked him. We're already telling him. He'll be back.
No, we booked him already. Yeah. Or at least I did.
Cause, right, that's good.
I had to find someone with some semblance of journalistic integrity.
That's good.
All right, so on behalf of the birthday boy, Raph Camus once again, and Ro Moran, my name is Stan C, and that ends this week's SVP podcast. We're out of here.
Sit down.
Be humble. Happy birthday. Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.